My dear brethren, I bring with me the greeting of the church at Philadelphia, especially Brother Chick, Sister Chick. Brother Chick was prepared to come to convention, but he got sick and had to rush to the hospital, and as a result, an operation. And you can imagine how he feels when we left without him. So let us all pray for him and all of God's people. I'm glad for the honor of being with you again, brethren, at the convention. It's always a joy. I can remember the first general convention away in 1910, when we had the pleasure of Brother Russell. And that was a joy to us. Out in the West Indies and in Central America, we looked for Brother Russell ever since we came in contact with the truth. And you can imagine the joy it was when we heard the ship blowing in the harbor and was told that that's the ship that brought him. And so we can just imagine with that joy of God's servant who was with us, what joy it is to our hearts at the present time as we realize that our heavenly bridegroom has returned, and the church that he has been selecting all through the gospel age, those who are still living in the flesh at the present time, how they joyed in knowing that when they are called away, it won't be to sleep, but to be immediately with their Lord and King. Our hearts rejoice, dear brethren, that God has called us. And so this morning we would like to use as a basis of our talk Psalms 45, verses 10 and 11. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house, so shall declare thy bishop, thou him. The nation of our text relates to the church, throughout this gospel age, as the spouse of Christ, the expected one to join with him throughout their trials and difficulties in life and their ultimate victory when the wedding will take place. Here we have a picture of how these were being called. The apostle in 2 Corinthians 11 told us, and 2, I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Jehovah so arranged it that this church is being selected at the present time and has been all through the gospel age. This church, which is composed of many members, are ultimately to join to their Lord and heavenly bridegroom. And so the apostle says, I have espoused you for this purpose. That is, we have to get ourselves ready to be ultimately with the Lord in the kingdom. You note also the apostle, John the Baptist, that he who had an opportunity of introducing Jesus had an opportunity also of symbolizing his consecration by water baptism. He said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because he of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Although John was one of the faithful servants of God, is stated by our Lord that among prophets, Luke 7 and 28, there had not arisen a greater one than John. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That is to say, it was not possible for John the Baptist to become a member of the bride's cloth, to be glorified with the Lord as a part of his church. Why? Because as near and dear as John was, he happened to die before Jesus. The ransom sacrifice was not paid at the time. And evidently, it was impossible for John to be a part of the bride of Christ. But he was a friend. He had an opportunity of introducing Jesus. And John, as we notice, was faithful as a member of the house of servants. And we rejoice, dear brethren, in that God had in his divine plan make such arrangement to select certain individuals in advance of the church who will, when the church is glorified, cooperate with our Lord in carrying out the earthly part of the work that is to take place during the next age. When his purpose is fulfilled, says the apostle, God, he will gather together all in one in Christ, both which are in earth and which are in heaven. Evidently, when the time has come and the church is glorified, there will be one family from earth to heaven. And that's why it is necessary for us to understand God's dealing with mankind as is seen in the divine plan of the ages. At certain time, he dealt with certain individuals, and at other times, he dealt with certain individuals. At the present time, he is dealing with the church. He's selecting the church. He's selecting the church for a purpose. And the purpose of the selection of the church is not only to receive the blessings of glory, honor, and immortality, but to cooperate with Jesus in lifting up the world of mankind out of their sinful condition and bringing them up to the perfection which was lost in the Garden of Eden by Adam, plus experience. So you see the purpose of the selection of the church. What a wonderful work we are called to. What a great purpose God has in us. And that being so, how humble we are to be, dear brethren, to do our part as best as we can so that we might ultimately receive the reward that the Lord has promised. At the present time, the angels of heaven are able to praise God. The church at the present time can glorify his holy name. But the whole world of mankind, and many of them, have lived and died and still living who have never heard the name of Jesus, who have never heard that God has a plan, who have never heard that there is to be a times of restitution of all things. So we see, dear brethren, unless those people have the privilege that we have at the present time to know of Jesus, to know what God has done on behalf of the human family, they would have no responsibility for themselves. So then, it is necessary that the church be first glorified and the message of the kingdom be carried to them, each of them, so that they might receive the blessings that God has in store for them. That's why the apostle in Acts 17 and 31 said that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, Christ Jesus, whom he hath ordained. So you see, the time is coming when the whole world of mankind will have an opportunity, and we see the folly of the doctrine that is preached in Christendom at the present time, that God has reserved a place of eternal torture to burn all the people. Because how would we expect that people who had never heard, have never known, just as in ourselves, we weren't away in the Garden of Eden when Adam sinned, but on account of his transgression, we became sinners. Those people in all the different parts of the earth, they weren't there when Adam sinned, but they also are sharing his penalty, sickness, sorrow, and death. And we can see the wisdom of God in arranging that in his own due time, they also will receive a blessing that God has in store for the whole world of mankind. You notice in the verse 13 of Psalms 45, it declares that this bride of Christ, our clothing, is enwrought with gold. This picture her as the bride when all the trials and difficulties and testings shall have been successfully passed, and she shall be accepted as the very elect to be forever associated with our Lord and a sharer in his glory. Enwrought with gold. Gold in the scriptures is a symbol of divine nature, our divine things, immortality. And so the apostle tells us in Romans 2 and 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality. This bride wearing this beautiful garment, that garment is a symbol, when completed, of the immortality, divine nature that they'll receive from the Lord. The Apostle Peter tells us also in 2 Peter 1 and 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The gold raiment, this divine nature, is future, when the church is completed in the first resurrection. And the psalmist tells us in verse 14 of the same psalms that she shall be brought or led unto the king in raiment of fine needlework. The thought here of being led into the king seems to represent the Lord's leading in the selection of the church. He has been selecting the church all through the gospel age and uses several instrumentality to bring us to God. We were led gradually. The church has been led gradually all through the gospel age, and God uses certain means, certain instrumentalities, the truth as it is in Christ Jesus and some of his servants, his faithful servants, to lead the church gradually all through the ages from grace to grace and from glory to glory, to prepare them for the final acceptance in the first resurrection of the clothing of gold, glory, honor, and immortality. It is in a full accord with all this that the scriptures represent that accepted of the Lord throughout this gospel age have been granted a wedding garment, clean, white, pure linen, which is the righteousness of the saints, Revelation 19 and 8. That is to say, at the time of our consecration, or the time of our justification, God presents to us a robe like. Now, we were members of the human family, just like any other. Sin had caused us to be different from what we would have been if it had not been for our father Adam's transgression. But at the time of justification, God covers us with his robe of righteousness. And this is like the white garment that is handed. But the garment being handed to us is handed to us for a purpose. We have to adorn it. You have seen ladies who have bought themselves linen, handkerchiefs, or any garment that they want to embroider. And they take them with the threads, gold thread they may be, blue thread they may be, red thread they may be, whatever they are, and they adorn that linen and adorn that linen until finally when it's completed, it's a beautiful thing to be looked at. And so, after we have consecrated ourselves to the Lord has so arranged it that we can adorn this garment that has been handed to us, this white linen. It is to be adorned by the graces of the Spirit of God. It is to be adorned by the things that are to be found in the Scriptures, the things that God has granted for us to study, so as to get ourselves ready for the kingdom. And when the time has come for the completion of this robe, this figurative robe, we shall be ready to be married to the Lamb. These exposed ones are cautioned that the manner in which they treat this rogue will determine whether or not they will be ultimately a part of the bright class. That is to say, this white robe, we should expect we should take care of it, or justification. That means that we are living in a world filled with iniquity, filled with sin, evil on every hand. And we are not, God did not take us out of the world at the time of our consecration, nor did he make us perfect at the time of the consecration. He begets us of his heavenly mind, a Holy Spirit of God. And this begetter was put in the same sinful earthen vessel. Some of us had bad dispositions before we came into Christ. Very bad. But God saw the condition of our hearts and realized that our hearts being in a proper condition, God saw that there was a possibility of making something out of us. So he called us. He gave us the Holy Spirit in the same evil flesh that we had originally. It was not made pure. It was just merely covered by the imputed robe of Christ's righteousness. And so, dear brethren, here comes the work. We have a great work to do. We should realize that being consecrated to the Lord, we are not yet perfect. We are still in the world. We have the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Of all these temptations, we think that the flesh is the worst of all. Our own self is the hardest that we have to contend with. Because there is a possibility for us after our day's work is over to get away from the world and get into our closet and there close the door and commune with our Heavenly Father. The devil, as a great general who has great tactics, he does not stay in us all the time. He jumped away sometimes and returned again, giving us the opportunity to come again. But this flesh of ours, ourself, remains with us continually. Morning, night, noon, day, at work, at sleep, all the time, the flesh is with us. And you can see, dear brethren, what we have to contend with. Some of us, naturally, was a little different in our disposition before we came to the Lord. Others were not. And you can imagine the difficulties and hardships it is to bring this flesh into control. So, brethren, let us not be deceived. If any of us the thought that being accepted into Christ and receiving this invitation and receiving the robe had supposed that we would have an easy time in keeping off the spots and blemishes, we will soon be deceived, because we'll find out after a while that the nearer we come to the Lord, the nearer, the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in knowledge, the more we'll see our imperfections day by day. The wrinkles that come upon our garments, you can see it in a man who wears a suit all week and have to wear it on Sunday also. He takes it to his presser and have the presser to press it so that the wrinkles might be taken out and he may look fresh in his suit on Sunday. So the wrinkles come upon our garments from time to time, imperfections of every kind. Spots also comes upon our garments. Some of the spots are not actually through ourselves alone, but through those with whom we come in contact with. To illustrate, if you are going along the street dressed in a white robe, and someone passing by on the muddy street, and his automobile rushes through the mud, the water would splash on you. Naturally, muddy water would splash on you. And so oftentimes these wrinkles or spots came on us through our association with the world. We can't get away from the world because our livelihood is with the world. Some of these spots come on account of our own carelessness. We have had these carelessness, and oftentimes these spots remain because of our carelessness also. Because having done something that we realize was contrary to the Spirit of God and righteousness, having said something that we know was not right as a Christian, having acted in the way our law thoughts to run along lines that were not in harmony with the principles of righteousness, often do we go to bed at night forgetting the things that we did today. We never go unto the Lord and said that we should have done immediately, but at least we should be able to count over the blessings and the failures and the difficulties and the hardships of the day at night when we are going to bed at least. But how often we have gone to bed without remembering some of the things we have said and done contrary to the will of God. Not remembering the thoughts that we had that wasn't pleasing to the Lord. And there remain a spot on our garments. Had we gone directly to the Lord and asked his forgiveness, confessing to him our failures, tell him the things that we did that we realized was not right. Had we gone to the Lord, that the fuller's soap would be handed to us, and we would be able to get rid of that spot. But no, we leave it there. Possibly we did something that was wrong to a brother or a sister with whom we are associated. We said something that wasn't right. We act in a way that wasn't right. We thought something. You know, evil surmisings is very easily surmised, as one brother tell us yesterday in the platform. Now, what has happened? Instead of going to that brother and said, "Brother, sister, I have realized my failure in saying or acting in a way that I should," oh, we said, "No, I'm ashamed. I can't go to her. She is of such a disposition that she's not going to appreciate it, and I don't think I should go to her." Now, that remains there. We meet the brother, we meet the sister, and we still have that spot upon our garments. How much easier it would be had we gone to a brother, first realizing that it's not our brother that say or did anything that was wrong, but is that evil propensity that was originally in him, his fallen flesh. And realizing that, we would have the forgiveness ready. We wouldn't be waiting for him to come, but we'd have it ready. But as soon as he comes, here we have the whole basket of flowers to throw upon him. "Brother, I am glad you have realized that, and I have forgiven you long ago, and know that it's all over." But as imperfect people, you know, dear brethren, we find that we don't always forget. As soon as something stirs up again, we are ready to say, "Yes, that's what he did the other day, and he's doing it again." Don't you find that? We cannot forget the thing. Our dear Heavenly Father forgives and forgets. But how hard it is for us. And he sympathizes with us because he knows we are imperfect beings. We are of the human family. We are not wholly, perfectly, perfect in our flesh and so on. And God knows it. And so he sympathizes with us. But dear brethren, every day as we remain in the school of Christ, the nearer we go to the Lord, the nearer we are to the end of our journey, the more we should be able to do better than we did the day before. Are we doing better this year than we did last year? Do we find ourselves nearer to the Lord this year than we did last year? Do we find ourselves more forgiving, more loving, more kind, not only to our brethren, but to the world with whom we come in contact with? Do we find ourselves in that condition? If so, let us rejoice because we are nearer to the Lord. But you say, "Yes, I have been walking with the Lord for a long time, but I find that there are some things that I'm not able to do as I would like to do it." Well, one of the reasons is that some of the little things that we had overlooked in the past when we start to run in the heavenly way, some of these little things that we did not notice very carefully, we notice it much more now than we did before. Why? Because our Lord, as the standard, as the light bearer, we are going towards him. And the nearer we get to the light, the more we are able to see our imperfections. Don't you notice that? If you had on a white suit and was out in the dark, you wouldn't be able to see the spots in your suit so well. But here you're brought under a light, and the nearer you come to the light, you see the spots more brightly. Don't you notice that? And that is the reason, brethren. Let us not be discouraged. The nearer we are to the Lord, the more we'll be able to see our imperfections. And some of those things that we didn't notice in the past, because we were not as near to the Lord as we should have been, we are able to notice them now. Let us not be discouraged then in the trials and difficulties of life. Let us not be discouraged when we find ourselves thinking something that isn't right. What we should be discouraged with is, if after we have thought the thing that is right, we continue to think it. Brother Russell once illustrated that as a man going along and a sparrow-like was flying over his head, or a crow. Now it's flying there over his head, he cannot hinder that. But you see, the man with his hands should not allow the crow to perch on his head and carry it along. So you see, brethren, so it is with us. We should not allow these things to remain with us. We should go to the Lord. We should use the fuller's soap. We should cleanse our garments every time it receives a spot. And if there be a wrinkle, we should press it out. The Lord uses certain means sometimes to help us to do those things. Sometimes we have overlooked certain things, and the Lord allows us to wander into sad experience in life. Have you ever been into some sad experience in life that when you find yourself in it, you wonder how it was possible? Why? Because the Lord knows that such a sad experience which you have entered in will help to make you humble. I know a brother who used to think that because his mother and father were Christian people, and he had never had the opportunity of going in the world, mixing in the world with a lot of things that other people practice, but was always in a religious life. He goes to Sunday school. He didn't practice. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke. He didn't do all these things. When he received the truth, he used to think that he was a little better off than those other brethren who would tell of some of the things that they had done in life. He used to thought so. But what happens? The Lord allowed him in one unguarded moment to fall into certain difficulties. And he said that difficulty remained with him throughout his life. Every time he would think that he was something different, he sees that difficulty that he fall in, that failure in life, and it kept him humble. And thank God, as far as we know, it's keeping him humble until the present time. So you see, dear brethren, sometimes we have some experiences that the Lord permits for no other purpose but to help to keep us humble. Perfection is impossible while we are in this flesh. That is, perfect thoughts, perfect words, perfect actions, perfect conversations, and so on, is impossible while we are in this flesh. And that's one thing we have to guard against so that we may not be discouraged. The Lord requires of us perfection of intention, backed up by our best effort. Perfection of will, perfection of heart, and so love for the Lord and his word, love for the brethren and our enemies. If we have perfection of intention, our desire will be to do nothing else but those things which are pleasing to the Lord. That's our desire, our hope, our intention, our will, our heart is along that line. And God, who knows our weaknesses and imperfections otherwise, make up for us our deficiency. He fills the measure. It's just like I was trying to reach to that light up there, but with all my stretching, it is impossible for me to reach it. But what happens? Someone come along and just lift me up so that I get to touch the light. So the Lord, seeing that our intention is good and we are striving along the line to do the best of our ability, in his own due time he will lift us up. If it had not been for God's grace to help us to get to the kingdom, none of us could. Let none of us think, dear brethren, that we from our work or our good works or whatever we may call it would be able to make the kingdom. Not possible. We could never reach to the condition in life where we would be able to make it for ourselves. It is the application of the grace of God. God has to supply that very last measure that is required for us to be fit for the kingdom. We have to do our part, do our best, do all that we can. But the Lord will have to make up the rest. So then, brethren, let us watch our garments from day to day. Let us see to it that it is unspotted. Not that spot will not come in it, but let us see that we wash off the spot immediately. As soon as we see it, just get something, get some of the fuller soap, get the word of God, and get rid of that spot. And by so doing, the Lord will know that our intention is pure, our intention is good, our desire is to please him to the best of our ability. The Apostle Paul, speaking of himself, he said, when I would do good, evil is present. Saying it also, we cannot do the things that we would. He said also in another place in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Another place he said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see that? But what is it? The Lord has made a provision that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If the great apostle Paul could not do the things he would, the things he desired, much more should we look upon ourselves and know that it's not possible for us to do the things we desire. But are we doing the best we can? That's all the Lord requires of us, the best we can. We used to suggest that to some of the sisters long ago, who when you visit them, they would say, well, brother, I haven't an opportunity to witness to the truth, that is to go out in the field and witness for the truth. And we used to make these suggestions to them that it's not the amount of time that that brother spends in the truth, is not the amount of time that that sister spends in the truth, is not the amount of time that they go, is not the number of volumes that they have an opportunity of putting out, is not the number of tracts that they have an opportunity of putting out, but is the condition of their heart and their love for God and righteousness. And if all you have to do is to talk to your neighbor, talk to your friends, talk to a visitor, all you have to do is to put a tract there when you have an opportunity, as long as your heart is in full accordance with God and the principles of righteousness, and your desire is to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, as you have an opportunity realizing that the Lord has so arranged it that each of us is called for a purpose to witness to the gospel of the kingdom. As long as you have done your best, God look upon you, and oftentimes you who have done that little with a pure, sincere heart, God looks upon it much more than the brother or the sister whose entire time is spent there. Oftentimes, it may be to say, how many volumes have I put out? Do you notice at a testimony meeting? It's always how many tracts I have put out and so on. Possible this one may be able to say, well, I've put out 1,000. And the other one there can't say that I put out but 10. And the 10 that I put up, the little time that I had, was just the little time that I was going to market. That's all the time that sister had. While she was walking to market in our basket, she had a few of these tracts. And she hands them out to our friends in the marketplace. Oftentimes, she, while making choice of our foods in the market, there comes a stranger, and she begin to talk to the stranger. The stranger's thought is the cost of food, what she have to pay out and so on. She joins in the conversation also. But before it was over, she was willing, remember, to tell that friend of what will take place when the kingdom of God is established, and also to hand that friend one of those tracts. The friend go home, may read those things, may rejoice in it, and some may even receive the truth through it. So you see, brethren, how every member of the church, everyone that the Lord has called, is able to do his part. Do you travel with some of these in your pockets as you go from workplace from day to day? Here's an opportunity that you are missing. Do you take one of the kingdom cards or one of the cards advertising the radio program in your pocket as you travel from place to place from day to day with your companions and with those on the trolley, with those on the bus, with those on the train and so on? Here's an opportunity that you are missing because, brethren, that may be the only chance for you to end to that individual with whom you talk with a little while. Very few of them will say, oh, go away, I don't want it. Very few. You'll find that once in a while, but the average people will accept the little message that you bring. Do you watch for those little opportunities and use them? The Lord is watching to see how faithful we are in these little things while we are getting ourselves ready for the kingdom. How faithful we are in the little things, and the Lord will give us more. So, dear brethren, our advice is, load yourself up with some of these trucks. Have them at home. When you're going out, carry a few of them in your pocket. Not only so, these little penny booklets, you know how helpful they are to yourself and how it is to others. Keep a few of them in your pocket. And as you go along and meet someone, you just mention to them if you have an opportunity. Not to insist on them when they are not able to hear or talk with you. Watch for the opportunity. And as soon as the opportunity presents itself, use one of these. As you go along the track, have you asked individuals sometimes, have you ever heard the Frank and Ernest program? Do you do that always? They say, what kind of program is that? And oftentimes we'll find that some of these people that we ask the question, they say, that's my best program, they said. I run to my radio to tune that on every day. Here's an opportunity. We had the opportunity while coming to this convention last year to talk with a lady in Toledo. She was going on to some other place on the bus. And I suggested to her, because I had a few of these little tracks in my hand, whether she has ever read these things, whether she has ever heard Frank and Ernest. She said, yes, I have heard them, and I intend to tune in again. Did you ever read any of the literatures, I asked? No, she said. She wants to write for them all the time, but she never did write. I had an opportunity of handing her a few of these tracts that I had in my pocket. So you see, brethren, how we can watch for opportunities every day at our workplace, on the street, at home, on the bus, on the trolley, every place in life, there is an opportunity. So when the Lord is making up his jewels, when the Lord is taking home his bride, when the church is glorified, we will look back and praise the way God has led us day by day. We'll be able to say, I thank thee, dear Father, because I had an opportunity in this grand work. And the Lord, in his due time, dear brethren, will reward you faithfully. He'll reward you now while in this life. The joys of knowing that you had an opportunity to cooperate with the Lord in this great work, a work that the King of England would be glad to cooperate with if he had understood it in the way that we do. A work that the Pope would be glad to cooperate in if he knew what it was all about. But we, the poor, humble things of life, God has called us and has opened the eyes of our understanding so that we are able to see the glories of the kingdom and the blessings that shall come to all the families of the earth. And having seen these things, it's for us, dear brethren, to use our opportunities and be faithful. What a sad experience it would be if later on in our lives we have to say, well, I'm sorry, I did not use the opportunity. It won't be so good. And that's why you notice there that the psalmist continue to say that this virgin class, after she had done all that the Lord wanted her to do, he saw another company, the bride's companion, following after her. This bride's companion is what is styled in the scriptures as the foolish virgins, we believe. It's also seen in Revelation also as another company standing before the throne with palms in their hands but no crowns on their heads. Why are they there? Did God call anyone to be of that company? Never, never. We were all called in one hope of our calling. How came another company? It's an account of carelessness some part of the way. They were justified. They were consecrated to God. They were begotten of the Holy Spirit. But what has happened? Carelessness. Putting off, putting off, putting off, putting off the things that are dear and near unto us. Evidently, dear brethren, how would we feel to know that it's an account of our carelessness? Why, God, having seen that we would not make it in time, had to call someone else to take the place because he wanted a church at a certain time. And here we are, a secondary company, not because God had called us to that company, but because of our unfaithfulness. Let us then, dear brethren, take heed to ourselves and endeavor to the best of our ability to do the things that are pleasing to the Lord, to see to it that we are carrying out our part of the covenant. That's all we can do, our part, and as faithful as we can, realizing that being imperfect, we are not able to do it perfectly. But in God's due time, he will make up for us our deficiencies. Let us then, as we study this beautiful Psalms, look into ourselves and see whether we are a part of this class that is being called. Let us see whether we have received the robe of Christ's righteousness. Everyone should. You know, there are conversations that come along and say, well, you know, brethren, you have received the truth since 1914. The door was closed in 1914. Evidently, you are not a part of the church. And some of those who had been rejoicing the truth since 1915 believed such a thing. Now, what was that? They themselves did not know what they believe and why they believe it. They did not know where they stand with the Lord, because the apostle said to those who have consecrated, you have the unction and you know it. Have you received the begettal of the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that there has been a change in your life? That where you used to practice anger, envy, hatred, evils of all kinds, you are able now to be practicing joy, peace, long-suffering, contentment, brotherly kindness? Have you seen a change in your life? Is there that change from glory to glory, from grace to grace? If you have this individual witness in your spirit, how could someone come and tell you that he knows God's business more than anyone else, and he knows that God stopped from doing certain things at certain date? And to those of you, he will say, who have even accepted the Lord long ago, 40 years ago, I think that you are a great company. Why? Because God is dealing specially with great company at the present time. Would you allow yourself to be led into things like that? No, you should not. If you have a knowledge of the truth, if you have the unction, if you receive the beta of the Holy Spirit, if you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your own life and can see the transformation that is taking place in your life, how could someone come along and tell you something to the opposite? Evidently, brethren, it is for each of us to know for ourselves, know that we had consecrated ourselves to God, know that we received the beginning of the Holy Spirit, which was an indication that God had accepted our consecration. Know that every day, under the experiences and difficulties of life that we are having, we have a proof that God is dealing with us. You must know it if you have it. And that being so, let us rejoice and wait on the Lord, realizing in one of his parables where he suggested how he gave to certain servants certain money to go and work for him in the morning, at noontime, late in the afternoon, he did the same thing. But you remember when the time of reward came, he start from the last one and pay them the same penny that he had offered the first one. Now what is that? It means that if you consecrate yourself to the Lord later, if you consecrate yourself to the Lord in these last days, if you have the evidence that God has accepted that consecration, work on, work faithfully, work on yourself. That's the main thing, that's the hardest work. Work in the vineyard, proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, tell the world of the time that is coming, the time that is near at hand. Tell them of the blessings that God has in store for the world of mankind. And as you go along and see the little crowd of people here or there worrying over the present conditions as they are in the world, tell them that these things are permitted for a purpose. But soon it will all be over. Soon the kingdom of God for which you are praying for will be established. Soon God's will be done on earth, even as it's done in heaven. Soon sorrows and sighings and difficulties and hardships will be a thing of the past. Soon Satan will be put out of the way. Soon there will be nothing to hurt or destroy in God's holy mountain, our kingdom. And whatever may be your difficulties at the present time, realize these glorious things, that it will not be for all times. Here is an opportunity to comfort the poor people. So you see, brethren, we have a mission. We have a mission. We have more than we have time to accomplish. Let us go ahead and do to the best of our ability. God, who knows the condition of our heart, that very God will, in his own due time, reward us according to his own will. And let us leave the reward to him. Work faithfully and leave the reward to him, because it is he who rewards those that are faithful. May the Lord continue to bless us, dear brethren, as we study his word from time to time, and realize that to be conquerors and more than conquerors, we have to do our part. This, of course, does not signify when we are called upon to separate ourselves from the world, when we are called upon to keep out of the world's condition, does not manifest their spirit, does not say that we should hate the world of mankind, and we should not talk with them when we have an opportunity, that we should not be kind to our relatives and our friends and our neighbors and so on. God requires such kindness from us to them, because we are passing through this world but once, and indelibly are we making marks upon the people from whom we come in contact with. And even though they are not able to appreciate us at the present time, when the kingdom of God is established, they look back and remember that, yes, that was why John Brown used to talk that way. That's why Mary Jones was like that. It's a fact that God had been selecting some of them. They will glorify God in your behalf. And when the kingdom of God is established, some of them will walk in harmony with the principles of the kingdom quicker than they would have done on account of the evidences that they had out of you, who through difficulties and hardship had served the Lord at the present time. Evidently, the apostle tells us that we should be kind and affectionate, kind to anyone with whom we come in contact with, especially to the household of faith. And soon we'll receive the Lord's reward by their Lord, who will grant us as a bride of Christ the robe of gold, immortality, life in ourselves. And realize this, that God is not going to give us this life in ourselves unless we have proven faithful under the test. No, because that would mean immortal devils for eternity. So you see, brethren, let us see to it that under the test we rejoice in it, while getting ourselves ready for the kingdom, which kingdom is soon to be established. May the Lord bless us, dear brethren.
And we saw an automobile lying upon its side. And it would seem that this auto had been diverted to the left, to the higher ground. And you know what happens why it quickly turned over. So you see, as the Lord's people, as we are striving to walk in this narrow way, we are ascending the Mount of God. And the way is narrow. And there are pitfalls on the right and the left. And only as we keep our minds and our hearts centered on the goal straight ahead will we be safe. And as this auto was overturned by diverting off the way, and the great dangers on the lower side, as we all readily see, I think that this is very fitting as to the position of the Lord's people today. We are in great danger if we turn to the right or to the left. Only the singleness of mind and purpose should be ours. And then as we ascend this great mount of God, in this being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we have great need of protection. And then, you know, in mountain climbing, they tie themselves together. And then if one falls, the others will be able to rescue the one who falls. And so the wise man has mentioned this as the threefold cord. And this threefold cord that we need to have that binds us to the great guide, our Lord Jesus Christ, then if we fall, we are able to be lifted up by he and the other who will assist. And this threefold cord, which binds us close together so that we will not fall to our injury, is the promises of God, the precepts of God, and the prayers of the saints. If there ever was a time in our history when we needed to be bound together, and tied together, knit together in love by that one Spirit, it is today. But behold, we find the things that are apt to divert us are legion. So let us then take heed. And as we ascend this mountain, we find the air becomes rarer and purer. Yes, as we ascend this great mount of God, the higher we get, the more pure the atmosphere should be. And then if we are near our reward, if the time is near for our inheritance, then we should be in that atmosphere that is pure and rare, uncontaminated with the affairs of the world. And then our head is above the clouds, and we are able to see and understand and comprehend all things from a divine standpoint, and we are living in that pure, sweet atmosphere of unity and oneness. Let us take heed then that we have no time for murmuring or finding fault, are bickering over trifles. We are called in one hope, and we are striving to attain that condition which in due time will give us that inheritance of the divine nature and be of the very nature of God Himself. I ask you, if we in the end will be found worthy of being of the great divine family, His intimate associates, eating at His table, can we be found today murmuring or finding fault with His arrangements? Therefore, let us take heed that after we have learned of all these things, we let them slip. And as the morning resolve gives us the thought for the day, let us then neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providences permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. May the Lord.